Bringing hope to many around the globe. Transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otobill. And now, today's word.
I'm doing part 13 of my series, Life in the Spirit. Part 13. And my subtitle is God's Armor. God's Armor, or the Armor of God. I was going to do the Weapons of the Spirit, but I felt it was getting a bit long, so I'll do that next week, and I deal with God's armor today. Last week, we looked at the battle we are involved in as believers, and today we're going to look at the armor God has given to us to wage this warfare. Every spiritual warfare must be waged in a way that gives us spiritual victory. And God's armor enables us to walk in the victory of the Lord. We go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 11 and 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And last week we dealt with this to an extent. But today I want you to note what it says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. We're looking at the armor of God. The passage actually doesn't just limit it to the armor of God, but he says the whole armor of God, the complete armor of God, from the Greek word panoplia. Pan meaning all, and the plia coming from a word that means instruments or weapons. So, the entirety of the instruments and the weapons of war that God has given to us. And when we talk about the armor of God, the Bible is very clear to talk about the whole armor, because it always prefaces with the whole armor. In other words, you cannot just pick pieces of it and use them. They come as a full set. And God wants us to use the full set of his armor to win the battles we are involved in. So what is God's armor? And I'll use two phrases to explain it. It means God's weapons of warfare. God's weapons of warfare. What God uses, the instruments that God uses in warfare. You know, frequently in the Bible, God is pictured in human terms as a man of war. Those are biblical ways of explaining to our human understanding that God fights for us. It doesn't mean that God necessarily fights like a military man, but it is a figure of speech that God is a man of war. He fights for us. And he has weapons of war, and that's what the armor of God is all about. And the armor of God also talks about God's method for warfare. How he does it. How does God wage warfare? When we say God is fighting for us, what is he fighting with, and how is he doing it? These two, what and the how, is what we call God's armor. And that term is a very, very clear term to show us that the armor does not come from us. It comes from God. And when Paul wrote Ephesians chapter 6 and talked about God's armor, he was basing what he was saying on an earlier passage in the Bible. And we will look at that earlier passage because that is the basis on which Paul talks about God's armor. And it's in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59, like the other chapters in Isaiah, is messianic. A lot of the prophecies of Isaiah were messianic. And when we say it's messianic, it means that although he was talking about something happening at that time, he was also talking about what the Messiah would do in the future. And so much of Isaiah's prophecies have dual meanings. They have meaning for the occasion, for the time, and then meaning also for the future. So Isaiah chapter 59 is one of those messianic chapters in the prophecy of Isaiah. The one that most of us are familiar with is Isaiah chapter 53 that talks about the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Isaiah 59 is messianic. So I want you to have that in mind. And we will read verses 15 to 17. And this prophecy is coming at the time when the people of God are in bondage, they are in trouble, and there's no one to help them. So this is how Isaiah puts it. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. So he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet, and it sustained him. And he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garment of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Now, if you pay attention, you would see that some of the pieces in God's armor are mentioned directly with God here in Isaiah chapter 59. So, the passage says that God saw a situation. Note verse 16. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm, everybody say his own arm. All right. His own arm brought him salvation, and his own righteousness, say his own righteousness, it sustained him. So the picture here is God sees that his people are in trouble. They need deliverance, and there's no one to deliver them. So God says, if there's no one to deliver my people, then I'm going to do it by myself. So that's what he's saying. So we see here that God acts by himself. He acts by himself. He doesn't need somebody to help him to do what he wants to do. So God acted by himself. Why? Because there was no one to save his people. God stepped into directly deliver his people. And in doing that, the Bible says that he uses his own arm. His own arm brought him the deliverance. His own arm. The word arm there talks about his power. He doesn't use somebody's power. Of course, when God wants to do something, show power, he doesn't show somebody else's power. He shows his own power, his own arm. He uses his own arm. So he acts by himself. How does he do it? His own arm. Secondly, he uses his own armor. And in the passage, we hear about righteousness as a breastplate, and we hear about salvation as a helmet. So God uses his own armor. His own arm, his own armor. Now, if you look at the passage carefully, it uses the phrase that God put on. He put on these garments. He put on righteousness as a breastplate a helmet of salvation, put on garments of vengeance. So the phrase put on is very important here in Isaiah, because I said that Ephesians chapter 6 is based on Isaiah 59. So you see the parallel of language. So God put on his own armor. What was his armor? Righteousness, salvation, the cloak of vengeance. These were all his armor. He put them on. So the passage pictures God in human terms. Now, I'm careful to let you know that it doesn't mean that God is a man who goes to war with instruments of war like us. But we are humans, and the only way to understand things is to describe them in human terms. That's why Jesus used a lot of parables to teach us, because if he doesn't use that, we can't get it. So God is pictured in human terms, but God is not a human being. Get that? He's a man of war, but he's not a man of war like a human being. And so the Bible says he put on righteousness, he put on salvation. They were his armor. And then he delivered us himself by his own arm, by his own armor. He gained victory for our salvation. In fact, that is the story of our salvation. When we were in sin, bound by Satan, no one could deliver us. No angel could deliver us. God had to act by himself. That's the Christmas story, the story of the incarnation. God became man. God became man to redeem man. So Isaiah says, God stepped in by himself to deliver us. And in doing that, he put on an armor. That is the background of what we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 6. So Isaiah chapter 59 is the background for Ephesians chapter 6. And just as an aside, those of you who like the Bible and want to see the harmony in the scriptures, I always say that when you study the scripture very well, then you realize that the scripture is totally interconnected. No scripture stands by itself. Everything is woven. Everything is connected somewhere. And from Isaiah chapter 59, we go to Isaiah chapter 60. Most of you are familiar with Isaiah chapter 60. Arise and shine, for your light has come. But arise and shine, for your light has come, comes from Isaiah chapter 59, when God has put on armor to deliver his people. It's only a delivered people who can arise and shine. If you're not delivered and in bondage, you will not shine and you will not rise. But when God delivers you, you will arise and shine. So it is on that background that we go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 to 17. Ephesians chapter 6, 13 to 17. And this is what it says. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Note the number of times stand is used. Verse 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So Paul is using Isaiah 59, God going into battle for his people, as a background to talk about believers also going into battle. And next week we'll pay attention to all the items of the armor, but today just the concept of the armor. So if you put Isaiah 59 and Ephesians 6 together, God is telling us something very clear. God put on an armor to go into battle. And he's telling us that what he put on to go into battle, we must also put on to do our warfare. So when we talk about the armor of God, you don't pick the armor. It is an armor that God used, which he now gives you to war in the same armor. It's a picture of like a great warrior. A great warrior goes to war and he conquers and he has a lot of victory. And then he comes home, takes off the armor he fights with. And then he calls his son and he says, next time you are in a battle, I want you to take this same armor that gave me victory. Wear it, put it on, and go and do your own warfare. So God is saying, this armor I am giving you is an armor I used. I trusted in it. It worked for me. It will work for you. The believer's armor does not come from the believer. It comes from God. God used it. And he passed it on to us. And that is why we have to trust in that armor. It worked for God. It will work for you too. It gave him victory over the devil. It will give you victory too. It is God's armor. God put it on. And we put it on as well. Now, when God put on his armor, he used his armor to deliver us. That's what we see in Isaiah 59. He uses armor to deliver us, to those who have no deliverer. So Isaiah 59 says, the Lord is looking for somebody to deliver his people. There's no one to deliver his people. He says, I'm going to deliver the people by myself. He put on righteousness. He put on salvation. And he goes into battle and he delivers his people. And the Bible says his right hand delivers them. So he put on his armor to deliver us. We put on his armor to defend the deliverance. So God says, I've already delivered you. How did you do it? This is how I do it. Now I want you to take the same weapons, not to go and fight the same battle that I fought, but to take this weapon and use it to defend what I got for you. So his weapon and armor got us victory. His armor defends the victory that he has given to us. And that is why in the Christian life, we don't go fighting against Satan. We go standing to protect what God has already given to us. Because by his armor, he has given us victory. By his armor, we stand in the victory. By his armor, we have the victory. By his armor, we defend the victory. By his armor, you are free. By his armor, you stand in the freedom. And that's why as you read Ephesians, you see stand, 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 stand. Because that is what we are doing in spiritual warfare. God has already put on his armor to defeat the enemy. And the same armor he used to defeat the enemy, he wants you to wear it. So when you go to do warfare, you don't trust in your power, but you go in the power of the Lord, in the strength of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Now you will understand why Ephesians use phrases like, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Because the armor is not yours. The armor is the Lord's. Believe in God's armor. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebe. Email otebe@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.